Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the SBC podcast, soon to be the Experience Share podcast. With us today, we have John Farhat of Farhat Services Company. He's the CEO and they specialize in IT services. And he is going to tell us how they help businesses maximize performance with IT services, among many other subjects related to IT. So with that, John, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful sunny day, but very cold up here. I'm excited to be here with you, talking about all the things we're going to talk about in the next few minutes.
Okay, awesome, awesome. And by the way, John said it's cold because he's in Ohio. I'm in Tampa, so obviously big contrast in temperatures. Nevertheless, so John, can you tell us a little bit about how businesses can maximize performance with IT services? Obviously, there hasn't been, it's always been an important area, key to business success, but it has even become more now that everybody's been relying mostly even more on technology and IT and computers and networks and things like that. So can you help businesses a little bit approach this?
Yeah, let me give you a provocative thought to begin with.
Sure.
For most companies, your IT strategy is actually your business strategy. Mm-hmm. Because if your business strategy is going right and your IT strategy is going left, by definition, I think a lot of people think strategy as what you want to do, whereas in my mind, strategy is what you do. And therefore, if you're going left, then that is your business strategy, or going left. In the year 2020, 2021, you can only execute using technology, and therefore anything that you do has to have a technology component in it. You know, for the most part, sometimes people think of IT as an add-on to what they have to do, as, we're going to decide what we're going to do, and then we're going to take IT and we're going to add it to the mix. And it always causes problem. It costs more money than it needs to be. And I'm not sure we're getting the value out of it. When in reality, if you were to look at the most valuable companies in the world today, they're all information and data gathering companies, whether it's Google, Apple, Facebook, and a whole host of other companies that are related to that. So for companies, that means that you have to have a little bit of a shift in the way that you think about your IT and take it out of the day-to-day operational mode and think of it as a strategic component of how you are, in fact, going to be delivering your services and how you're going to be delivering on your business promises. And when I work with clients, sometimes we go through this process, and I haven't been able to give it a good name yet, but I call it ludicrous simplification. Let's take your business to its essence, and let's figure out what that essence truly is, and then let's then understand what IT components are required to be able to take that essence and filter it into an operational strategy from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, definitely. So the IT should not be an afterthought. So when people are approaching it in the beginning, I don't know if you have an example like to maybe help people wrap their heads around it, like how to kind of approach it. If there was a certain company that maybe you worked with or anything like that, you helped identify how to set up the strategy again, so it's not an afterthought.
Yeah, sure. So what you see sometimes is that people end up listening to vendors, and the vendors are sometimes driving what the customer's doing. Hey, we're moving. We need you to upgrade. We need to change this. We need to upgrade that. When in reality, sometimes you have to stop, take a step back, understand the essence, and then build from there. So a number of years ago, there was this company that I was working with, and they were looking at making an investment of about $70,000 to $80,000 in order to upgrade their existing software. Mm-hmm. So we sat down and looked at what it is that they were doing, and was that software actually the way to go? And then the owner of the company was actually very a little forward thinking. You know, I mean, he was ready to look at anything that would help him out. And by taking the approach that let's rebuild from scratch, let's understand the essence, let's do that ludicrous simplicity, we ended up identifying a vendor that can do the same exact thing. You didn't need to have any hardware or expertise on site. It was all done in the cloud, and your yearly cost for subscription to the service was $1,000 a year. Wow. Plus the, you know, it took them about $8,000 to $12,000 to do the conversion from the old system to the new system. So here they are waiting and looking to spend $70,000 or $80,000 now in order to maintain what it is that they were doing, whereas you take a step back, understand what you're doing, and you move into a better solution for about a fifth of the cost.
Wow, amazing. Especially now, I mean, it's like it's a constantly moving kind of world, but it also like it can be overwhelming for anyone who's not familiar or doesn't even know where to start. So what are some of the main considerations? I know from my experience, of course, security is always top of mind, but there's also like scalability, and you don't want to buy an old dinosaur and you know, that is just and you're going to be stuck with it sounds like you saved some people from doing that or buying the wrong thing or investing in the wrong thing. So what are some other key considerations?
Let me just go back to that example a minute ago. They would have been just fine had they spent that $80,000, and they would have been able to continue their business doing it the way they were doing it, right? Mm-hmm. But there would have been a $60,000 difference in the price. Right. So now they're better off because they had that foresight. So it's not a question of are you able to operate or are you not able to operate. I think it's a question of are you able to operate better and potentially at a lower cost. Mm-hmm. Other considerations I think that you brought up is security. That is huge. A big part of the security of your systems, the reality of it is we are always, as IT people, we are always half a step behind the hackers. And that's on a good day because mm-hmm. you have to see what they are doing to be able to fix and patch and be able to prevent that. So, now, is hacking a new thing? No, it's all, no. You know, people have always stolen things from other people. So it's not a new thing. It's just a different way that it presents itself nowadays via computer systems, because that's what we all end up using. But in my mind, in addition to protecting yourself from having a problem, there is a more fundamental question that you got to ask yourself is, let me assume that I have been hacked and that I lost data. For business continuity reasons, what do I have to do to get back to where I was yesterday? And the important thing about that is if you are hit by ransomware, if you are hit by things that erase your data, if you have a disgruntled employee, you don't have to have, you know, all these ominous little things mm-hmm. from the outside that will that are looking to hurt you. You could have somebody on the inside who has a grudge and does something to cause harm to the business. The question is how, knowing that you've been hurt, how it is that you are going to recover. And that's, to me, a much more important and fundamental question than what is the security of the day, because the security of the day is a constantly changing marker. You know, we change based on what the hackers are doing. We change based on what the malware that is out there at any specific moment. But the fundamental question of how do I protect myself, assuming that I was hacked, I think is a much more fundamental requirement for any business to think through.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So continuity of business is important, and having backup plans and having contingency plans. So speaking of good questions, John, what are some other good questions that business owners should ask themselves or ask their vendors?
I think the question the thing that we do with our advisory services is we help our clients figure out the why and the what. And if you are a business owner and you are unable to answer the question of why am I doing what I'm doing with IT, or what it is that I am doing with IT, I think then you actually do not understand how your business is functioning. And so you have to ask two fundamental questions. Why do I have to do what I'm doing? And then what can I do now? And what can I do better in the future? And if you look at that example that I gave you a minute ago, the business owner in that case just asked why. You know, why am I doing what I'm doing? And do I really need that? They were able to change direction of their IT. They didn't have to do anything for the business, but they changed the direction that their IT structure looked like to support the business that they actually had, not the business that they were actually imagining they could be into in 10 years. So part of the thought process as well is IT is a very rapidly changing environment. And so you cannot make plans and assume that this is what we're going to be doing in IT 10 years from now. You have to make plans to what it is that we're going to do with IT for the next 24 months. Evaluate that and see after 24 months if you're still going to maintain the course or change the course. The rapidly changing world out there may provide opportunities in 24 months or 36 months that are not available today.
Yeah, very, very important point. Yeah, I mean, I never, because I mean, sometimes people will say, okay, think ahead, but I think you're right. I mean, in some of these ever-changing and fast-changing environments, you can't go too far, because then you may do a lot of unnecessary things or do bigger investments than you would need to do, or actually sunken costs, it sounds like. I know you also work with startups and you help startups. What are some ways you approach startups that is maybe different from other businesses or better? I don't know.
So I think startups are a little bit of a passion for me, because if you were to ask me my why, my own personal why, why do I do what I do? It's I am fascinated by the creation process. I am fascinated by the creation of processes. I'm fascinated by the creation of products, businesses. So what wakes me up in the morning is that idea that I'm going to go out today and I'm going to create something new that nobody has ever done before. Or maybe somebody has done it, but I'm going to do it a little better. So that is the driving force for me. So working with startups is actually a very interesting proposition for me, in the sense that many times startups, the people with the idea don't have the business savvy. I mean, we've been in business since 1997. We haven't starved yet. So I think, in one way or another, I think we're probably doing something right. Maybe not everything right, but at least a few things right to have that longevity. And a lot of younger guys, when they go out and have that, and I mean guys and girls, who are out there with this great idea that's going to sell itself, that's going to change the world. And we've had our share of failures with ideas like that. I mean, in my business, all the way back in 1999, we had this great idea that we needed to create an online web content management system. We're going to sell so much of it that the world is not going to be able to operate the World Wide Web without us. And we're going to be the center of the web. Mm-hmm. And, big notions and big ideas and big dreams about how that was going to be as well. Unfortunately for us, that idea was about 14 years ahead of its time, 14 mm-hmm. years ahead of its time. And so I think part of what we do with startups is do a little more business coaching and business work with them rather than strictly IT work mm-hmm. for that organization. You have to ask the idea holders to prove that there is a market for this, find ways to understand why the market is going to want to buy your idea and help them change that whole process of creation so it's a little more deterministic. And it's based on a lot of the mistakes that we have made. I mean, all the way back 20, 25 years ago, we made a lot of mistakes and learned quite a few expensive lessons that we hope to impart on these new startups.
Yeah, that's definitely key. As the adage goes, smart people learn from their mistakes. Smarter people learn from others' mistakes. So so definitely it's important to kind of go back and study some of those lessons and pass on the wisdom. So, John, is there anything else that you want to share with the audience that hasn't come up to this point?
So, you know, one of the interesting things that that I think we do is we don't only just tell people or advise people to do certain things. My family and I, my son and I, collaborated together on the creation of this company called LaQuanter. It's we bought the software from a cloud company that I used to run prior to what I'm doing now. And then what we are doing with it is, in addition to the fact that we're obviously selling the service, is we are treating it as a separate entity where we give it the advice that we would give any of our other clients and see if we are able to make that advice successful. So we're not just sitting there giving advice and then running away. We're actually putting our money where our mouth is and testing that that advice, in fact, is going to have the positive effects that we're telling people that it's going to have. And so in a sense for us, LaQuanter has been that that laboratory where we test out all these ideas and make sure that they are, in fact, working and will have a positive impact on the clients.
Mm. Yeah, very fascinating, very interesting. So, and I understand, like, you also approach engagements in different ways. And I think I saw on your website that you even for startups consider other maybe joint ventures or taking on like an investment or advisor role or other things. So I think definitely something maybe those interested probably want to reach out to you guys on. So speaking of that, John, how can people stay in touch with you or follow you?
I think the easiest way to do it is on my LinkedIn profile. And my name is John, J-O-H-N, Farhat, F-A-R-H-A-T. But I am happy also to give you my cell phone number. The likelihood that I'll answer is probably 5% or below because I'm usually on the phone most of the day. But if you do call and I do not answer, please leave me a message and I will get back to you. And my number is 614-582-1061.
So yeah, whatever you share, John, we're going to go ahead and share as well in writing when we publish this. So with that, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Listeners, this concludes this week's episode, and be on the lookout for future ones. And you can always listen to previous ones on our blog at sbchecks.com/blog or your favorite podcast listening application. Thank you. Be well and be kind.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.